your word of truth, and we thank you for this opportunity as we just sang praise to you to now receive from you in your word. We pray that you would teach us, that you would guide us, that you would help us to examine our lives before you and confess and repent and seek your instruction from this time together. We thank you for being our Heavenly Father and for disciplining us as you see fit. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's a lot of different descriptions for parents out there. Have you ever heard of a helicopter parent? You know the parent that's hovering over the child, the parent that pays extremely close attention to a child or children's experiences and problems, the helicopter parent. This is a new one that I heard recently. Have you ever heard of a lawnmower parent? That's a new one to me. A lawnmower parent is one that mows down all the children's challenges, discomforts, and struggles. A lawnmower parent. Now, how about a tiger parent? A tiger parent is a strict or demanding parent that push and pressure their children to attain high levels of scholastic and academic achievement. Or how about free-range parents? Those that encourage their children to function independently and with limited parental supervision, according to their age, development, and so on. There's all kinds of descriptions for parents. Those are just a handful of those that are out there that I've heard in culture. I want to say this, parenting is hard work. Parenting is hard work. In our day and in years past and throughout all history and going into the future, parenting is a tough job. And I can say that we're in the throes of that right now. And as you maybe aren't in the throes of that, but as you reflect on your past, maybe how you parented yourself when your kids were younger, when your children were younger, or perhaps how you were disciplined or parented by your parents, right? Maybe you experienced a spanking spoon or something like that. You turned out okay, right? I kind of fear in this sermon that the Child Protective Services are going to be having a helicopter out here and going to bust through this window at any moment today in this sermon as we consider these things. I could get in trouble for this one, I think. In history, there's been a pendulum swing of being super authoritarian, and being authoritative and being so loose and not being authoritative at all. And the question today, that as we open up Proverbs 13 together, as you crack open your Bible with me, the question today is this: what wisdom can we glean from Proverbs on the task at hand of disciplining children? That topic pops out to us here in Proverbs 13. Throughout all of Proverbs, different topics are covered, and this is one topic that pops up often in Proverbs, the idea of parenting or disciplining children. We're going to hear later on in Proverbs, I believe, chapter 22, where that will be kind of the part two of this message. This is more of the responding negatively, correcting, whereas Proverbs 22, we're going to focus on more of the positive teaching and training of children as well. As you handle this vocation of being a parent and as a child as well, this is for you too, kids. This is for all of us here as we have these things before us. And so Proverbs 13:1, the very first verse here that's spoken, actually comes to us from the perspective of the children, right? As you think this might be just for parents or grandparents here, kids, right away, look at verse 1 with me in Proverbs 13. It says this: a wise son or a wise daughter accepts his father's or mother's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. First verse that we have before us deals with it from the one who is receiving discipline or correction. And before we get any further, let's define what we're talking about here. What is discipline? What is discipline? What are we talking about here? A very good definition that I found from the Concordia Commentary says this: discipline is the intervention of some authority to turn one from harmful, self-destructive ways and sins. Okay, so discipline is when anyone who is in authority, which the fourth commandment, you shall honor your father and mother, that extends to all government as well, when any authority offers some form of correction, intervention in the face of harmful or self-destructive ways or sin. Okay, so that's discipline on a wide scale here. And sometimes when we think of discipline, we think of it in maybe narrow ways. Maybe a spanking, as I mentioned, or a rod. We're going to see that later here. Perhaps as Minnesotans, we think of the controversy surrounding Viking star running back a few years ago, Adrian Peterson, AP, right? Who used a switch, a piece of bark or some sort of handmade device to discipline his son. But he got in trouble because he broke skin with his son. He caused bleeding and so on. Now, I just heard the other day, I think somebody said that spanking was even proclaimed by somebody to be very harmful. And so, what are we to do? How are we to go about this task, especially as parents, of disciplining our children? We see the children going down self-destructive ways. It would be more hurtful for us to not do anything as parents and so on. And so, let's look at a few other scripture passages from Proverbs, especially. Look at Proverbs 23. With me, Proverbs 23, verse 13. Listen to what this verse says. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with a rod, he will not die. In other words, he's not going to die unless you take it beyond what it needs to go. And as you hurt and harm, we're not talking about child abuse here. The Bible is recognizing that some form of discipline is needed to bring about correction. It says, do not hold back discipline. In our day, when the world is telling us to completely back off as parents, let's not buy into that in our culture. Let's discipline in some way. And you know what? They're not going to die. I think maybe some of you, I've heard stories of, and this was not my experience, but I've heard stories of people where maybe some of you had parents that used a device like a spanking spoon that was up on the fireplace or something like that. It was there almost as a form of intimidation, right? Just pointing to that. A spatula. I've heard stories of people that they knew that was coming and they stuffed some newspaper and some padding in their pants because they knew that that was coming. Even without the newspaper and even without the stuffing to protect, in the end, you're not going to kill your kids in some form of discipline. Here in Proverbs 23, the scripture seems to say that it is okay to use some sort of a physical object, as if a rod. A rod is just a small stick in here. And really, the instrument is not important, be it hand, spoon. We do not want to harm our children, but we do want to provide enough discomfort to lead the children to think. I won't tell you which one of my kids said this to me, but after disciplining my children, I don't even remember which form we used, because we try to vary and use different ways of discipline. The one of the kids said, "Dad, that didn't hurt." Ooh. Don't ask any more questions than that. We want to provide enough of a painful experience. It doesn't necessarily have to be a physical thing. We found oftentimes taking away privileges is just as effective, if not more, than a physical, be it a spanking or some form of discipline. That's still discipline too. Whatever form you use, it's not hurt. You're not going to kill your kid. Unless you do, then you have other issues to deal with before God, before the world. Why do we discipline? Why do we provide some form of discomfort or pain to our children? We don't want them to go down the path of evil because of this. And look at, if you're still, or turn to Proverbs 13, verse 24. We learn this about discipline from Proverbs. Proverbs 13, 24 says this: "He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." We learn this about discipline. Discipline flows from love. This is the verse where we get the famous slogan, right? Spare the rod, spoil the child. As a parent, you must not discipline your children if you don't love them. Discipline flows from love. You should, as a parent, say, it hurts me to do this, but I love you too much not to do it. We know that discipline flows from love because we learn that God disciplines us. We heard that in the scripture reading from Hebrews. The Lord disciplines those whom He loves. We receive discipline from our Heavenly Father, and sometimes it feels like a swat on the behind when God is working in us. God disciplines us because He's correcting us. He's helping us avoid further evil. Discipline flows from a heart of love and care for your children. This happens in the context of a larger relationship. As you have casual conversations with your children, according to Deuteronomy 6, the great Shema, as you go, as you rise, as you sit down, as you travel along the way, tell your children about all that God has done. And I'll say this too, parents, make more deposits than withdrawals. Pour into your children more than asking them to do something. If you are asking of them all the time and never pouring love into them, you are going to exasperate your children. We don't want that. We want discipline to come from a heart of love. Related to that, we can further glean this, that discipline must not be shame-based. As we think about discipline that flows from love, one of the tactics that we go to use is shame. You better not, right? I heard this one time. I love this distinction. Are you a reputation parent or are you a sanctification parent? Meaning this, a reputation parent says, I want you to obey right now because if you don't obey, I'm going to look bad as a parent. That's reputation parenting. Sanctification parenting is this, I want you to behave and walk in obedience to the Lord because it is right and is good, and because the Lord is sanctifying you and growing you in grace. Don't use shame. Sometimes you may, if you're out in public, like at a grocery store or something, and there's an opportunity for discipline to come, you may need to say, let's wait a second. When we get home or when we get to the vehicle, then we're going to deal with this. Don't threaten your kids. Say, hey, look, everybody's watching you. Don't use shame. Don't use the elf on the shelf. He's watching you. You should only obey because they're watching you. No, we obey because it is right and it is good, because the Lord calls us to obedience. Discipline must not be based on your feelings. Yes, we want to discipline in love, but we must not let our emotions sweep us away. Some of the best advice I've received as a parent is this: don't carry out your discipline in moments of anger. I have a feeling that's probably what happened with Adrian Peterson and with many other parents, and maybe you, as you think of your life and your parenting, maybe even many years ago, that you let your emotions sweep you away, and in the moment of anger, right? Or have you been there? Are you there now? What happens is this, is that sometimes when we're feeling good, then we maybe let things slide a little bit faster. But when we're really angry, that's when we buckle down. Paul Tripp, I appreciate what he says this. He says, sometimes when this happens, when we discipline based on our feelings, whether it be anger or if we're feeling good, hey, go ahead. You know, I'm feeling good today. I'm going to let it slide. Paul Tripp says this, our kids then become emotional weathermen. What is mom or dad going to be like today? What's the weather like today? Is mom feeling good? Can I get away with more today? I hope you don't think that, kids. Parents, let's be consistent. Don't discipline in moments of anger. Don't discipline when you're feeling, don't not discipline when you're feeling good. Sometimes we portray this, or we don't help ourselves when we possibly, and maybe some of you have used this, and maybe this has been effective for you. Maybe we could, let's have further conversations from this. Counting. I'm going to count to three. One, two, two and a half, three. No. I appreciate one of my favorite books on parenting, and I encourage you to read it, especially if you are in the throes of this, is Shepherding a Child's Heart. And they say this: obedience means doing what is told without challenge, without excuse, or without delay. In other words, don't wait to count. Demand immediate obedience. And you know, without thinking, we end up disciplining our children in the way our parents disciplined us. Maybe we reacted so strongly to our parents' discipline that we go the complete opposite way. And that's what I would critique about modern parenting. We clamor for to be our child's friend when what they need most is a parent. Certainly, friendship with your children is important, but don't give up the authority that God has given to you as a parent that needs to be established and needs to be maintained. And so we come to the scriptural principles here, the call for parents to discipline the children. And so we ask ourselves this: what does discipline accomplish? Are we just doing this just to do it, just because God tells us to do it? No, there's a few more verses in Proverbs that gives us insight into what is actually happening in discipline. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 15. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. What does discipline accomplish? Discipline removes foolishness. And I want to say this: there's a difference between foolishness and childishness. Okay? Foolishness is intentional. I will not obey disobedience in a moment. Whereas childishness is not intentional. Okay, it would be very silly for me to say to Stella, 3-year-old Stella, hey, why did you spill that cup of water? She wasn't intentionally going about it. But as a parent, maybe in the moment, maybe I saw that it was intentional, right? If she were to pick it up and just go like this, look at me and... That's very different, very different. You see how the difference between that? Discipline removes not childishness. Discipline removes foolishness from the heart of a child. Look also at Proverbs 23, verse 14. This is right after verse 13. Remember the verse where it says they're not going to die? Look at verse 14, Proverbs 23, verse 14. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. Whoa. Discipline is a curb for evil. The first function of God's law is to curb evil in society. And we see it in family relationships. We see it in the broader authority of the church and, or the state and what we live in under good government. The first function of God's law is to curb all evil. And here, in verse 14 of Proverbs 23, discipline accomplishes the idea of helping your child avoid Sheol, death, hell. Your kid's soul is at stake. Discipline removes foolishness. Discipline is a curb for evil. There's a third thing that discipline does, and it fits in with the rest of what we've been looking at in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 15. Proverbs 29, verse 15 says, the rod and reproof, listen to this, give wisdom. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother and father. Rod and reproof give wisdom. We want to discipline. We want to be disciplined because we want wisdom. It'll make us think twice about it. It would have been fun or embarrassing to have my mom share about disciplining me. But I do remember that her discipline and my parents' discipline was effective. I was an ornery little fellow. He wouldn't have guessed that, especially at church back in the day, which, by the way, parents, don't be discouraged when your child makes noise or acts out in church. We want to see kids here. This is the best place for them to be. Sure, you can go out if you feel the need to do so. But I do remember as a young kid that my mom, we used to have a balcony at that old country church. She pulled me out of that balcony into the back entryway, and I did get a spanking. Oh, it wasn't good. I didn't like it in the moment. But you know what happened? The next time I started to act up, I got the eye. You know, just the look was good enough. Just the threat of that, the threat of the discipline was enough to make me stop and think, do I want to keep on acting up? I don't know how many times it took for that. But the look was sufficient. Shepherding a Child's Heart has another quote. Listen to this on parenting. The central focus of child rearing is to bring children to a sober assessment of themselves as sinners. And I would add quickly too, to bring the soothing words of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the midst of that discipline. We desire our children to receive, to believe, and to walk in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's for you today, friend. And so as we think about, there's much more in Scripture. This, and I can only do so much, and there's more conversations to be had. But you know what? God, the Holy Spirit, gives you wisdom. You know your child well, and God will give you wisdom in that. But as I want to think about wrapping this up here today, and there's a number of different types of people that are hearing this today. I want to speak to us as we dwell upon the implications of this message for us today. What can you and I take away from this? Certainly, this topic affects us in very different ways. Maybe you are this type of person here today. Maybe you are not a parent yet, or maybe you are a child who is still on the receiving end of discipline. Part of your calling, your vocation as a child or as a young person in your parents' home is to receive the discipline of your parents and know that they love you despite all their failings. As you grow in God's Word, you'll be able to discern this. Second group of people, maybe you are a parent of school-age children. It's a sweet spot of this message, right? Give me more. Maybe you're saying, hey, give me more. Teach me more. I want more. I want to learn more. And certainly there is more to learn. Can't do it justice in a sermon message. Love to direct you to more resources to further equip you as you seek to raise your children in the fear and love of the Lord. Perhaps you are this group where your children are either young adults or maybe they are adults. And some of these things might be fresh in your mind. It was just a few short years ago, or maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, that you had children or kids at home. Maybe you have some regrets or are feeling convicted in some way. Maybe you're saying, praise the Lord that He guided us through that. What in the world were we doing? But it all worked out. Maybe you're praising God. Maybe you're asking God for grace, for forgiveness now. Maybe you're in this fourth category. Your children are now parents. In other words, you are a grandparent. And some of the same things apply to that last category. Maybe there's an opportunity to confess sin, to say, God, that was many, many years ago that I was in the midst of this and I failed and I maybe had some good things that come. And praise the Lord for how my kids turned out today as they are now parents too. God takes this word and He applies it to us as we need it. Let's repent together. Let's seek the Lord together. And in the end, all of us are God's children by faith. And we receive discipline from the Lord himself as he seeks to grow us as disciples of Jesus Christ, followers. Disciple is related to the word discipline. We follow after Jesus as he works in us, as he corrects us, as he leads us to see our sin. May we turn to him. May we receive grace and mercy from the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word today. And, oh, Lord, there's much to pray for in this. Lord, I pray for all those categories of people, wherever we may be, Lord, that you would minister your spirit and your grace to us in this moment. Forgive us for our failings, for our perhaps sins against our children, either now or in the past. Lord, we cry out to you for your wisdom. Thank you that discipline gives us wisdom. Most of all, we thank you, God, for your activity in our hearts and our minds to discipline us. As we go down the paths of sin, you correct us, but you lead us to the foot of the cross. Lord, we thank you for that today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.